People will come to me and say, I am in a terrible situation at work. And I'll say, really, well, what's going on? And they'll say, well, you know, I don't like my boss. They've put too much work on us. It's too stressful. And they go on and on and on. I say, well, why don't you just quit? I can't quit. Why can't you quit? Because I can't make this kind of money doing anything else. You're enslaved. But one of the things Peter does is he tells us who we are, and then he tells us how we should live. And that's Peter's MO here when it comes to 1 Peter. And you need to remember that he has really kind of built them up by saying, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And when he says that, when you've stepped over the line and become a Christian, this is how God feels about you. And I want you to hear that. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. If there's one thing that if I could give to you tonight, it would be for you to take those words and put them in your heart. Because what most of us do when it comes to reading that is we read it as something that doesn't really apply to us. Amen? We read it, that's just nice language. But it doesn't really apply to us. But Peter is saying it does apply to you. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm not perfect. How can I be a chosen people, a royal priesthood? And, you know, look at the people that come to church here. We're anything but a holy nation. I mean, think about it. Think about that for a minute. And how can we be God's special possession when all the things going on around us are going on? Peter's wanting you to capture that because, and we talked about this last week, because that gives you special privileges. And we talked about it, the fact that it would allow us to come before the throne of God, and we spent some time in Revelation talking about what that looks like according to what John tells us. In Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who is ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I wish that we could get a handle on the fact that God allows us to come before his throne anytime, anywhere. I think sometimes we make this into like a popcorn prayer where, God, help me with this. God, I need this. Or, bless this food. Bless this family. What we have, what the scriptures is telling us, is we can come before the God of heaven, the great Almighty, and we can know that for sure that we have been heard, and we are being heard while we're praying. Ron, who is your favorite preacher of all times other than me?
Tell him, Ron.
I know Ron's got one.
I don't know. Mid McKnight comes to mind. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Oh, I know Mid McKnight. So if you had an opportunity to sit down and have dinner with Mid McKnight, would you want it to be a real quick dinner?
No, I'd probably ask him so many questions he'd get tired of listening.
You think it'd probably be a few hours then?
Yeah, at least.
Would you take that opportunity? I know he's passed, but would you take that opportunity if you had it?
Sure I would.
And I want y'all to think of other people that in your life that, you know, you wish you could have dinner with. And how would you spend time with them, and what would you do? And as Ron says, I'd ask so many questions he'd get tired. And I think of people that I would like to spend some time with. And, but you know, out of all the people that we can spend time with, there is a God in heaven that is waiting for us to sit at his feet. Asking questions. And you say, well, you know, he doesn't really answer the way that I want answered. I want an answer. I want it right now. I want to know this. And I'm going to tell you in my experiences of being a Christian for a number of years that I realized God's word answers everything. Amen. There is nothing that I want to know or I need to know that is not in his word.
I think personally for myself, as I was growing as a Christian, when you read the Bible, Peter prayed and it happened. Paul prayed and it happened. He could heal people. He heard those prayers right then. But also Satan was running rampant then too, because you had a lot of evil spirits going around and they were being cast out. There was just so much of God's power being seen by these people. So now we have to be like the Samaritans. When Jesus went to them and told them the good news, he didn't have to perform miracles. So that's what I had to go back to. I have to be a Samaritan. I have to be the person who reads and believes and fall into that faith and fall into a relationship with God and not expect him to answer every little thing that I ask him.
Amen. Amen. And I sometimes wonder if it's not our lack of faith that we don't experience God more. And I'm not talking of miraculous healing or things like that, but feeling God's presence on a daily basis, I think that comes from our lack of faith. And there's times, I'm going to tell you, in my life where I have felt God so closely, it was as though I could touch him. We were going to go to SunQuest, and I love SunQuest, not because I'm still a kid, although Nancy says there's a part of my brain that's still 12. I go there because I hear all those voices singing, and it does something to my soul. And they have great speakers, and I pick up some stuff from them and learn some things and so forth, but it's the worship. Back there, Jason.
I believe we need to have a prayerful life and a life that continues to say whatever it is we think we need, whatever we're praying for others about, we need to have in there, but thy will be done, God.
Amen.
And that is a powerful thing for us to see, believe, and live. It's not always easy because many times we have an idea of what ought to be done.
Yeah.
We've been there, we know what it's like and so forth, but we have to maintain that attitude. Here's the situation, God. Here's what I'd like to see done, but above all, I want your will to be done. And then we've got to wait and see that happen. And I think if you've lived long enough, and you people in here know who you are, you have been privileged to see God's will be done in various ways, and many times not like you thought, but his will was done in such a way that it was so far better than what you could have thought or even prayed about. And that's part of our faith, that the creator of the universe wants to hear from us, and he wants to have his will done in our lives so that things will be right.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Monty. Ron's got a comment right in front of you, and then Judy over there.
I keep thinking of the people who lived in the time frame that Jesus lived and died on the cross, and the years ahead in which eventually the Romans got tired of all the fooling around and took care of them. But, you know, that it took a lot of faith and trust and whatever you want to say for those people to succeed, meaning spiritually. And we can learn from their experiences, and that's basically what I think we're doing, mm-hmm. is learning from what the writers from God told them to write, put down for our understanding, I guess.
Amen. Judy?
What sticks in my head is the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So when I have something going on, I pick out some good men and say, pray for me.
All right. So we've got that. Peter's told us who we are, what we have available to us. And then he starts off in 1 Peter 2:13 through 25. And I had to go back over some stuff that we did last time. And it says, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as a supreme authority or to the governors who are sent to him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slave. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. He goes on to say, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also those who are harsh. For it is commendable someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray. But now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. I want to tell you a little something about slavery in this time of this writing. And that this time, what happened is whenever you conquered a country, the people of that country became your slaves. And so there were people that were slaves because they had been conquered. There were people that were slaves because they couldn't afford to feed themselves. Like there were some people there that, you know, they made stuff or they fixed stuff or they were carpenters or whatever. And they may not have had slaves, but if you had some kind of position in the community, you would have slave. Now, you say, well, what does that have to do with us today? A lot of these people were enslaved because of the fact they couldn't afford to put a roof over their head without being enslaved. So they would go up to him, and I'd go up to like Eric, because Eric's going to be one of these guys that's got some money. I'd say, Eric, I'm going to be your slave. And if you'll feed me and my family and make sure that I have a place to sleep at night, I'll be your slave. And that was indentured slavery. Now, say, well, what does that mean to us today? Well, when I came to work here, they said they were going to pay me a salary, which is what? It's going to keep a roof over my head. It's going to give me food on the table and a few other things. The difference is in that day, Eric could beat me. Today, the elders don't beat me, but they can't abuse me. Not that they have yet. But here's what I'm saying. There is some practical application to this in the people we work for today. We can read this scripture and we can go home and say, oh, it was a nice scripture. But what we need to do is we need to take this scripture and learn how to apply it in our lives today. How does this work today? And if we were to go after this and we were to sit down and have some Starbucks coffee, here's the questions that you would get from people. And I've had this happen to me before. People will come to me and say, I am in a terrible situation at work. And I'll say, really, well, what's going on? And they'll say, well, you know, I don't like my boss. They've put too much work on us. It's too stressful. And they go on and on and on. I say, well, why don't you just quit? I can't quit. Why can't you quit? Because I can't make this kind of money doing anything else. You're enslaved. Amen? If you can't quit, you're enslaved. And so we have the same situation, just a little different. So here's the questions that people ask me. How do I handle a corrupt corporation or a boss that is a jerk? Anybody in here had a boss that was a jerk? I'm raising my hand, but not because of my elders, okay? But I've had bosses that were jerks. It says here, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters. Ooh, submit, underline that word. How many of y'all like that word? Anybody in here just, oh, I want to submit. I'm waiting. Oh, he wants to. She told you you had to, huh? You have voluntold. But look at that. In reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. This is what God is saying for people who are employed. Okay? And then it says, to this you were called. We have a calling. God took us out of sin. He made us righteous. He put us in before the throne in heaven so we can pray to him. He says, you're called to this. And he says, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So you got a bad boss. And I know some of you are retired and some of you have great jobs and you're not dealing with this, but you're going to run into people that have this, and this is how you answer it. This is how you answer people. To this you were called. Colossians chapter 3, 22 through 24. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. My Bible says, obey your earthly masters in some things. Because I crossed out everything and put some things because I don't like everything. And do it, not only when their eyes are on you, to carry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. My father-in-law was a postman for a number of years. He retired Air Force, and then he went in to get the what they call a double dipper. He went to get that second retirement by going into the post office and collecting the Air Force retirement and the post office retirement. Smart man. But one of the things he was telling me about that they do at the post office is from time to time, they will put somebody on the truck or the postmaster, the little vehicle that you're in, and they will time everything that you do. And he said he was told right off the bat that whenever somebody gets in your truck, you slow down. Because if you speed up, they'll expect you to be that way all the time. I remember one time I was working construction. I was a young guy and I had lots of energy. And they asked me to dig a trench. I'm digging that trench as fast as I can. So what's next? And when they asked me to go get something, I'm booking it. And I had an older guy come up to me and said, Neil, you need to stop doing that. And I said, why? He said, because you're making the rest of us look bad. As Christians, we've got to set the pace, we've got to set the example. Obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with sincere heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. For all are under the yoke of slavery, should consider their masters worthy of full respect. Ooh, that stings a little bit. Any of y'all in here ever had a boss that wasn't quite smart as you are? Any of you ever had a boss that just really didn't know what they were doing? I have this thing that I tell Nancy from time to time. She'll talk about the people that work in her corporation. She'll say, I don't know how they got that job. And I said, we all rise to the level of our own incompetence. That's what it is in corporations. You rise to your level of own incompetence. But look at what it says right here. It says, all who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters, their boss, worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and are devoted to the welfare of their slaves. These are the things you are to teach and insist on. This doesn't work in our society today, does it? We've got bosses that are jerks. We've got corporations that do stupid things. But the scriptures still apply to us today. And we've got to remember that. The second question people would say is, does submitting mean I have to stay in a horrible situation? Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 through 22. Because I think a lot of people think, well, you know, we have to. It says, nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised, and I don't know how that would work. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. What are you saying? Do we got to stay in a bad situation? Look at what he goes on to say. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although, if you can gain your freedom, do so. You don't have to stay in a bad situation. For the one who was a slave when called to the faith in the Lord is the Lord's free person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. So you don't have to stay in a bad situation unless you can't get out of it. Number three, does submitting mean I have to do whatever I'm told? Let's discuss that for just a minute. You got a boss? If it's legal and moral, do I have to do it? My boss comes to me and he says, this is legal and this is moral, you have to do it. Do you have to do it? Yeah? All right, next question. If it's stupid and unfair, do you have to do it? Yes. What's that?
Stupid pays you.
Stupid pays you. Okay. Jason, could you get, there's Jason. Jason, get a mic over here so that we can all hear her.
Doesn't it depend on who it's unfair to?
Does it, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, if your boss wants you to do something that's unfair to someone and causes them harm, I don't know.
It didn't say it caused anybody harm, just unfair. Like, let's just say the boss gives you the job of cleaning the toilets, not anybody else. That's unfair.
Yeah, if it hurts somebody else, it's not moral.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to hurt someone, it's not moral. And Chris has his hand up.
I think one of the parables that Jesus taught about the guy who paid people to work all day and paid people to work half a day, and you know, some guys started at 5 and worked till 6 and got the same amount of money. That sounded unfair to me.
Yeah.
You know, at first glance, I'm like, that's very unfair.
Right.
And yet he said, well, it's the guy's money and he's got a right to do with it what he wants, and why are you questioning that? So I think that's probably what you're talking about.
Exactly. Exactly what we're talking about. Wait just a second. Give him a mic.
Yeah, fair is a matter of perspective.
Fair is a matter of perspective?
Yeah.
Okay.
What Jason may consider unfair, I'm perfectly okay with.
Okay.
And vice versa.
All right. So when my kids were growing up, parents listened very carefully, because this was probably good advice I got from somebody that worked real well for me. My kids, when they were growing up, they would have this line they would say, but Dad, that's not fair. Any parents in here ever hear that? Okay. Here's how I answered it. I would say, get used to it. Life's not fair. If life was fair, I would have been born rich and good looking, not just good looking. But within a couple of years of them saying it's not fair, guess what? Every time they would get ready to say it's not fair, they would say, life's not fair. Because life, anybody in here think life's fair? You think life's fair?
I sure do.
You do? All right, give him a mic. I want to hear how he says that life's fair. Why is life fair?
I can answer that very succinctly.
Okay.
As you sow, so also shall you reap.
All right.
It's cause and effect.
I would agree with that in some instances. But go back to what I just said. How come Linda Vines is born beautiful and I'm born average? How come I'm 6'2" and Jason, how tall are you, Jason?
5'8".
5'8".
And a half.
And a half. How come?
You're not focusing on the positive. Jason doesn't buff his head nearly as often as you do.
That's my point. I bump my head more. How's that fair?
It's hotter up here.
It's hotter up here.
Well, you're compensated because you can look over the fence. Jason can't.
So that's fair. All right, let's move on. So what if it's illegal or immoral, such as you're going to hurt somebody else or you're going to do something that's not legal?
No.
You don't have to do that. Now, I work for members of the church, and they tried to get me to sign a contract that was illegal.
It was years ago.
It wasn't here. Years ago. It was before I ever started preaching. The only job I'd ever been fired from. Only job. They asked me to do something that was illegal, and in my situation, I thought it was immoral, and I told them I wouldn't do it, and they said, well, clean your desk out. They said, we're going to give you until Friday to change your mind. And I said, you don't have to give me until Friday, because I'm not changing my mind on Friday. And I cleaned my desk out and I left. And I had two kids at home, no income, Nancy was not working. She was raising the kids. And I had no idea what I was doing, gonna do. And it was a horrible, horrible time in my life. But because I stood up and didn't do that, I have the best life ever right now.
And that's fair.
And that's fair? Is it?
Absolutely.
I don't think so. You know what, John, I'm gonna tell you, I don't think it's fair at all. I do not think I deserve what I have. I have not done enough good in my life to deserve all the good I have in my life.
There's something God wants.
Yeah, that's what God wants, and I'm not bucking the system here. But I don't think it's fair. I'll tell you what else is not fair, John. Seems like we're gonna get a little deep on this. It's not fair that God's grace has been extended to me.
I can't agree with you more. And then say here. Mm-hmm.
A blessing.
We do. We have it as a blessing. All right. So, Acts chapter 2, they called him in again, talking about Peter and John, which is right in God's eyes to listen to you or to him. You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. And then in 527, the apostles were brought in and appeared before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. And he said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. Ron got his hand up.
I recall during the trial of Jesus, the Pharisees or some of their party were saying, let his blood be on our hands. Mm-hmm. So it's come true here. Mm-hmm. He's saying that you're now saying that that's what the case is.
Yep, exactly. Any other comments? I've got the midwives in Exodus, and I've got Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I got a meme today from Jan. You know, Jan Blackwell's spiritual gift is puns. Okay, and he's and making dad jokes. That's his spiritual gift. He sent me one today saying, it's so hot here, I ran into Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So, pretty good stuff. All right, so the next question. What if I'm ordered to do something immoral or illegal? First thing you got to do is respectfully push back. When you submit to someone, you give them respect. Amen? And, you know, wives, submitting to your husband is not about doing everything they say. It has to do with respect. There's a great book called Love and Respect that women need love and men need respect. God told us this a long time ago. And so when he says submit, he's basically saying respect. So respect, respectfully push back. The second thing you need to do is seek out a creative alternative. Seek out a creative alternative. And the fourth thing is to accept the consequences. There's going to be consequences when you push back against something that's illegal or immoral. You're going to have to accept some consequences. In my case, I lost my job. I lost my livelihood, but God provided. Didn't have to worry about it. And I know there are other people that did the same thing, that have done the same thing. In Acts chapter 23, verses 1 through 5, Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, my brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day. At this point, the high priest Ananias ordered him, though standing near Paul, to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed walls. Does anybody know what the... John, have you ever just gone up to somebody and said, you whitewashed walls?
No.
You ought to try that this week and see where it gets you. That just doesn't seem like a really good insult.
So you're going to see me Sunday with a black eye?
No. If somebody came up to me, I mean, if Jason's mad at me and he said, "You whitewashed walls," that doesn't sound that threatening, does it? But that's what he says here. he says, "You whitewashed wall, you sit there and judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." Those who were standing near Paul said, "How dare you insult God's high priest?" Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was a high priest, for it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" I like this story because Paul lost it for a minute, didn't he? Anybody else ever lose it for a minute? Have to back it down? I had dinner with Matt and Adeline the other night. We went to Cracker Barrel to discuss SunQuest and some other things, and we're sitting at Cracker Barrel, and I had been all day long wanting some catfish or some pinto beans and cornbread. And we got to there, and Matt, do you remember what Adeline ordered and they didn't have? Was it the catfish? She wanted so she tried to order catfish, they didn't have it. And then Matt ordered a sandwich and he said he wanted some steak fries. They didn't have the steak fries. So I was sick because I was gonna get some pinto beans and some bacon. And when I ordered pinto beans, they didn't have it.
They have cornbread?
They had cornbread, but what good is cornbread if you got nothing to eat? So I'm like, really? What kind of place is this? And I mean, I could feel my tension getting up because I hadn't eaten all day and I was hungry and I was looking forward to some food. And I had to back it back down, and I went out of my way to make sure that waitress knew that I wasn't upset with her and that she was doing a good job. Paul lost it here. Amen? I guess that's a Christian way to cuss. He called him a whitewashed wall. And I still don't know why that's such a bad thing. Yeah, it's got to be something. And then he pulls it back. He says, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was a high priest, for it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the rulers of your people.'" Every once in a while, you have to back things down. I think Linda wants to say something.
Paul was calling him a hypocrite.
Paul was calling him a hypocrite. Whitewashed tombs, yeah. Yeah, and that sounds a little more like an insult. Yes, Chris.
You know, growing up on a farm, when something got to looking kind of beat up and getting a little dilapidated, we just got whitewash out and painted it up and it looked all bright and new. So basically, I think it's saying, you know, you got a covering that looks good, but it was kind of like them calling the jars empty.
Right.
You know, it looks beautiful on the outside, but there's nothing inside.
So I've got this now. You mentioned farm. This is what I would have done instead of whitewash wall. I would have said, "You're like a pig with lipstick." There you go. That's more of an insult. All right, number five. What if I'm in an impossible situation? Anybody ever been in an impossible situation with work? I remember one time Nancy had a boss and he was just horrible, and you know she was not sure they were going to make it, and they were talking about a mutiny. And they came to Nancy and they said, "We need to go to HR about this guy." And Nancy said, "You know what we need to do is we need to pray about this." And they all prayed about it. And within 2 weeks, the guy had been fired. And so anytime you don't like your boss, talk to Nancy, have her pray. It'll be okay. So what if I'm in an impossible situation? So far as possible, live at peace with everyone. So far as it is possible. Live at peace with everyone. Do your best to be at peace with everyone. And then finally, trust God to even the score. Trust God to even the score. Jason and I were talking the other day at lunch, and one of the things that Jason and I were talking about is that you work like you for the salary you want. You don't work for the salary you're getting. You work for the salary you want. I remember one time there was this girl that worked at staples. Back then, we didn't have a copier and things like that, and every Saturday I had to go and make the bulletin. And I was in there copying the bulletin and getting everything ready, and this girl was there all the time, and she had the worst attitude of anybody. And I kept saying, you know, my job in this world is to cheer people up and make them smile and make them happy. I love doing that. As a matter of fact, for the most part, when somebody's grumpy, it is a challenge to me to make them happy. So I work on it. And I was working on this girl every Saturday, talking to her, trying to get her to smile. She just wouldn't smile. And I said, you know, I come in here every Saturday. I'm friendly and I'm nice. Why is it that you have such a hard time being here? And she said, they don't pay me enough. And I said, well, work like the job you want. You know, like you're making the money you want already. Work like that and you'll be amazed at what happens. And I said, if you keep this up, you are going to be saying, do you want fries with that before long? A month or so went by and she wasn't there anymore. Went through McDonald's. She was at the window. Look at what the Bible says here. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear brothers, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Underline those words, overcome evil with good. And then Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Comments, questions, concerns. Uh-oh. Take your time, it's Jan.
Oh, I just remembered an incident from my youth. I've got a brother that's about 3 years younger than me, and we got along like brothers. And there was one time he was just picking on me. And I looked at him, I said, Gary, I love you. He went, Mom! He's being weird. And Mom said, Son, what are you doing? I said, shoveling coals.
Anybody else? Thank you for your attention tonight, and thank you for being here. I look forward to seeing you next week, and we'll continue to learn on how to live in a broken world.